Chair, Representative McGuire, the answer to that is that not everyone wants to be a medical doctor. Some people want to be dentists and don't go to medical school, yet are able to provide systemic medications to their patients for dental. Podiatrists don't want to be medical doctors, yet they're authorized and statute to prescribe medications. There's nurse practitioners, family nurse practitioners, enjoy being nurse practitioners. The concept is that the medical field is expanded to include a number of different fields.
On that point, you listed a couple of other professions, medical professions that prescribe drugs. What's the process by which they prescribe those drugs and are licensed to do so?
Through the chair, Representative Berkowitz, Catherine Reardon did an excellent summation of all of the fields that prescribe medication, and she can speak really well about that.
Okay. Through the chair, the professions that Ms. Sylvester mentioned do have authority to prescribe. Dentists, advanced nurse practitioners, physician assistants, osteopaths, physicians. Generally, say with dentists, there isn't a separate endorsement for them to prescribe. When you get a dental license, you have the authority to prescribe. Because it is believed that in dental school, which is about the same length of time as optometry school, that in dental school you will have received the training that makes it safe for you to prescribe. In the case of...
let me just, on this particular issue, since time is an issue, do any of those professions have authorization to use pharmaceutical agents by systemic administration?
Yes, they all do.
Okay, and how are their licenses issued, and is that consistent with the proposal in this bill?
Through the chair, their licenses, dentist licenses, each licensing system is slightly different, but dental licenses, you get your dental license, you can prescribe systemic drugs. There's no extra qualification process that makes some dentists able to do it and some not, or that you have your dental degree, you pass the dental exams, you can prescribe systemic drugs.
Okay.
For advanced nurse practitioners, if they're going to prescribe controlled substances, they have to show that they have some specific training and things like that in addition to their basic qualifications.
Are they required to have any affiliation with the physician?
Advanced nurse practitioners are not, and dentists are not.
Well, that muddies my water.
Representative Cotton, you have a situation where an optometrist who's fully trained to do this must go to someone who's lesser trained to prescribe the medication, because Alaska statute doesn't allow these people to practice at the full level of their training. The question isn't, are ophthalmologists more qualified? They are. The question is are optometrists qualified? And yes, they are. Is a brain surgeon more qualified to do brain surgery? They are. But you don't limit a medical a family doctor to prescribe headache medication. It's a very simplistic analogy. But that's the question. And if
no, it's going apt to brain at this surgeon. Point.
Is there further questions, Representative Berkowitz?
I just want to, just in terms of the language of these sections, there's a couple of components. I want to go back to the speaker's concern about, I don't understand why we have the section one. And I just, in terms of tightening, on line 10 and line 23, it's more of a stylistic change, but I would say the pharmaceutical agent, delete the lines, that was offered. I mean, that could conceivably be read, but it's no longer offered.
What line was that?
It's line 10 and line 23, page 7. I'm going to move to strike the words, that was.
I guess I'd like to make a friendly amendment to his amendment. to also delete lines 7 and 8.
And 20 and 21?
Yep. And 20 and 21.
And then you have to get rid of, on line 19, you have to get rid of either.
What do you want to do with the word was?
We're out.
it's
a separate amendment.
Yeah, let's do these one at a time.
Okay.
Lisa
was the one who started that.
I know.
That add-on, the piling on.
Piling on. Rover, come on over. Okay, so... Line 10, page 7.
You're the one that started it.
Line 23, page 7. You want to strike the words that was. Is that correct?
Yes.
And line 10.
Is there objection to that? Amendment number 1. Seeing none, amendment number 1 is adopted. Representative McGuire, my understanding is your conceptual amendment is to strike from page 7, lines 7 and 8, and lines 20 and 21, and on line 19, the word either.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Is there an objection to that amendment? Seeing none, amendment number 2 has been adopted.
It also includes the number 2, but the
right,
for the
reforming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a question, which might lead to a possible conceptual amendment. Is word requiring that they attend and pass a course covering systemic administration of pharmaceutical agents without offering any guidance as to from a policy perspective of what would be necessary for for that course to contain, and you know, I don't have medical training, and I don't know what properly should be in such a course.
But,
Representative Jewell,
isn't that clarified at the bottom at the end of that sentence? It has to be approved by the board.
But there you go again.
That gets us into Liesl's quagmire.
Same problem.
You're not going to get out.
You've
of that
got the fox guarding the hen house.
God, I love this subject.
I hate it.
I mean, for example, you could be in a situation where someone could take a course that covers some systemic administration of pharmaceutical agents. They've taken the course, but yet they want to prescribe different pharmaceutical agents. I mean, I studied drug X and I'm prescribing drug Y.
Chair, I think it would be very difficult to have a law where it said you had to have taken a course in prescribing that particular systemic agent because new drugs are developed every day. So even the MDs, the ophthalmologists, they went to school last year. They were learning about certain drugs. This year there's new ones on the market. There is a continuing education requirement for optometrists who have endorsements to prescribe for that reason. But I think it would be a bad idea to limit them to what is on the market today.
That wasn't what I was suggesting. I mean, there's different systemic administrations. I don't live with the doctor. I try not to visit them very often.
Representative Berkowitz, to my understanding, is that these courses are already out there and they're put together by the universities, and these optometrists, including the optometrists in Alaska, are already taking this. If this bill were to become law, they would all go back and take the course again. So there are established courses by schools of optometry that have that deal with the issue of medication.
You know, there's a piece of me that wants to say, and approved by the boards of examiners in optometry and ophthalmology meeting in joint session.
Yes, I do too. The medical board, yeah.
They could see eye to eye, perhaps.
I just have one more question in the drug area, if I might, Mr. Chairman. Why anaphylaxis?
Chair, Representative McGuire, anaphylaxis is...
I know what it is. I just want to know why.
Because right now, optometrists are prevented by law from injecting And an anaphylactic, a person in anaphylactic shock would require an injection. So you could give somebody, anybody, a mechanic can give an injection, but these people are prescribed. You can't do that. So it just allows them to do an injection for this first aid type of activity.
Why do you need a law to require that if, I mean, it seems to me like you're opening up a whole area of practice, because if you were going into anaphylactic shock right now and you had an EpiPen and you wanted me to help you, I could do that as a friend, as a anything. I don't need to be qualified to do that. But why make it part of a licensing requirement? Why make it, it seems to me you're inviting a patient, you're holding that out there as this is something you can come to me and I can treat you for. I mean, I don't see the if your argument's correct, I don't see the necessity.
To the chair, I think there was a concern that perhaps the law would prevent them from doing that because their prescriptive authority wouldn't permit it. And so, although I think the concern was that although average citizens could give you the EpiGun, that perhaps the law would technically prevent optometrists from, and so they wanted to make sure that in that medical emergency they could do it. And since it is a medical emergency, it isn't like where someone's going to call around and say, you're only going to do it if it happens while you're standing there. It isn't really going to be something that you are going to be advertised and come to me if you're in an anaphylactic shock, because obviously it's a,
So it's a liability issue, though, because I see what you're saying. So if you're in the office and you're going into anaphylactic shock, and your optometrist gives you, administers the EpiPen, and something happens and you die from anaphylactic shock as a result, and your, say your heirs or your husband or whoever goes and sues that individual, you want to be able to say they were licensed to administer it? Is it a liability issue?
I don't know.
It seems to me like that's probably what it is. I mean, if they're worried, you stated that their concern was that they were worried that they weren't covered. And so my question is, what's the worry? I would think it'd be liability.
Through the chair, Representative Bayer, that's never, ever been discussed in any testimony, the liability issue. I'm from conversations with optometrists on that, is that LESCA statute doesn't allow an optometrist to inject anything. And so this is one group of people that is that cannot do this in law. So the liability might even, you might make the case that the liability is actually skewed in the opposite direction right now, because they can't do it. They cannot inject anything into anybody's body.
You know, I did not want to get involved in this debate, but I'm just looking at what the ophthalmologists have to go through. They have to pass an exam with an acceptable score, and they have to pass a course designated as being acceptable, and that's on page 3 of the bill. But here we're just saying they have to pass a course. There's no requirement that it be with an acceptable score. And there's no experience requirement, which is part of... Now, I admit it, that's for licensure, simple licensure, but, and I don't know if it's completely analogous, but there is at least a requirement that there be an acceptable score, and here there's no, here's just simply passing the course.
Mr. Chair, I guess we would assume that passing the course means that you, from that institution that gave the course, they said you successfully completed this.
So a D minus is okay.
Well, it depends what that university, I guess, says is acceptable. Passing, of course, after all, you're required to graduate from dental school or medical school or optometry school to get the licenses, and we don't say that school must require C's for graduation. We leave that to the school, what is passing a course. We don't go through, so you get all D's in medical school, you don't get so it
just wondering, it didn't seem necessary. Same Spanish for attorneys.
We do it to get into UAA, for the university.
Get the president's program. We require some scores.
But that's
sorry.
It's only the legislature where those standards lapse.
Oh, bite your tongue.
Just on the other side.
Is there further discussion, Representative Berkowitz? Do you have any additional amendments?
Take out 215.
No, I'm done with this for the time being.
After conferring with the speaker.
Didn't want me to be a pain in any
pain in the eye.
Captain, then on the amendments that we proposed and adopted, is there any problematic areas with removing subsection one that you can see? I don't recall the testimony in the Labor and Commerce meeting when we had this. It's been quite a while.
From my personal opinion, I think that those changes do not present problems, and in fact, in my mind, they clear up questions that were going to come if this bill goes into law. Questions about initial licensure, questions about things like that, and so I see it as more streamlined. My personal opinion.
One final question.
Catherine, do you have a concern? I mean, if this bill doesn't pass because of the controversy over 215, mm-hmm. where does that leave you? You're in your wind down year.
Through the chair for the opticians?
Yeah.
For the opticians, it puts them into their wind down year, so next
just come
year
back
you'll
next
see
year.
A director come right. and say, please introduce us on the next
extension. Good. I just want to make sure it wasn't a crisis.
Catherine, there's always been some concern that this wind down year that you end up getting into has some kind of negative effect on their operations and what they can and can't do or what they perceive they shouldn't be doing. Is that just a misconception out there? I mean, this happens with a lot of these boards that we end up going into the sunset year.
Mr. Chair, I think it depends very much on the board. So in terms of occupational licensing boards, it doesn't create a lot of disturbance. I think in terms of boards where they're with the RCA, perhaps, or boards where they're involved.
Hypothetically.
where they're involved in regulation of industry in a different way than we are, I think it might have different implications. So I don't want to say, for us, where it would start becoming a problem is as we approached the adjournment, you know, we're getting into May, it looks like a bill's not going to pass, then it starts creating problems a little bit in terms of scheduling the applicants thinking, are they going to get licensed or not? It starts creating a lot of anxiety amongst applicants, and it starts to create confusion about if it doesn't pass, will this profession now be totally unregulated? Or will, as with the guide board back in 96, will the governor do an executive order saying, no, the department's going to keep regulating, will there be litigation? Those types of questions come up. But as long as a bill is introduced and seems to be moving along steadily in occupational licensing, it doesn't create concerns. People aren't making business decisions about investments and things like that, depending on the way they might be in other boards.
Thank you for that.
Good job, Ignis.
Goodbye. Okay, further discussion on Senate Bill 270. So wishes of the committee. Representative Jewell.
No comment.
Representative Corey.
I'll move to the committee, Mr. Chairman, with individual recommendations of the company. Fiscal note.
As amended.
The motion is moved to Senate Bill 270. I agree with individual recommendations as amended and accompanying fiscal notes. Your objection? Hearing none. Bill is moved. And we do not have the next bill in our possession, Senate Bill 371, so we'll take a recess to a time to be determined.